This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Powered by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Imagine being in an industry where the commodity you are dependent on can range from a high of US$128 to a low of just $19 in a period of 5 years, which means it's not going to be an easy feat to ensure consistent profitability. How then does Valesto Energy, the largest owner and operator of jack-up rigs in Southeast Asia, navigate this cyclical industry, and has it learned the lessons of its past where high debts almost crippled it? Questions we pose to Megat Zariman, its president. Thank you for joining me. Now, just this year alone, Valesto share price is up 30+% with almost every analyst calling a buy on the stock. So does this mean that the company is in that Goldilocks moment, that sweet spot when it comes to utilization rate for all the jack-up rigs and hydraulic workover units? And of course, daily charter rates are very close to all-time high.
First of all, thank you, Xiaoning, for this invitation. I'm really privileged to be here. It's always a pleasure to speak to the media and also the public. So coming back to Valesto, yes, we are in a very good position right now. And this is at the back of two things. Number one is that the market is fantastic, yeah? And number two is that what we have done in Valesto to take advantage of the market improvement. Mm. So if you look at the market, the oil and gas industry has turned around since 2022. That's when the oil price started to go high, right? And as a result of that, a lot of the clients have started to put CapEx into their projects. So when they put CapEx into their projects, it benefits service companies like us. So activities in drilling picked up, and that's where we take advantage of. So in terms of what we do different to take advantage of that market improvement is that we also did a bit of a change in terms of how we run the business, what we focus on. And the key thing that we put on is to look into the strategy of improving our, obviously, the charter rates, looking into the contracts that we want to work on to get a bit more stability in the contracts.
Mm.
Okay. And primarily to show to our clients that we can deliver values for them. That is our differentiation. Yeah. So we focus on safety, service quality, technology, and sustainability.
Okay, so this upcycle that we're seeing in upstream capex, like you say, which started in 2022, seems to be accelerating in 2023. Is it just really down to oil prices? Which begs the question, Brent crude is around $90 a barrel. So does this mean that the good times are going to last though?
Yeah, so I mean, I tell people, including the analysts, that our business, especially drilling, is directly related to the oil price.
Mm.
And it's simply because as the oil price increases, the clients have a lot more money, they can reinvest back into the project. And that means drilling. Yeah. So is it going to be sustainable? We foresee that in the next 2 to 3 years, the oil price is potentially going to stay around $80, barring, of course, any other geopolitical issues that can come up. But if it is as it is, it will be sustainable. And they're simply at the back of the supply and demand of the oil and gas.
Mm.
Yeah. And the OPEC right now is a bit more disciplined in ensuring that there's stability in the oil price. Okay. And if there's stability, everybody likes it, right? So that's why we think that in the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to be sustainable.
Okay. But at the same time, Petronas is only anticipating average prices to hover around $73 a barrel in the near term and then $63 a barrel in the long term. And then even the tone of Saudi Aramco, the largest oil and gas company, they sound a little bit more cautious. So how does that factor into your long-term planning? Because I'm sure, does that mean that you look for charter rates or at least charters which are longer in turn then also?
Yes. So what we have done since last year, especially 2023, is to focus on long-term contracts. Yeah. So that's why when there is this challenges of reducing the activities a bit in Saudi, as you said just now.
Oh, we'll come to that in a minute.
Yeah, and we're not too concerned about it because at least for the next 2 years, I mean, we are solid. Right?
Okay, so like we just said, the Saudi. So a number of jackup rig drilling companies have had their contracts suspended, right, by Saudi Aramco in recent days. And when it comes to rigs, it's all about demand and supply. Mm-hmm. Currently, there seems to be a supply shortage. But now with these rigs, they might find their way to Southeast Asia. Do you think that will then cap or even pressure utilization rates and daily charter rates, which will then impact you?
It certainly will have an impact in the supply and demand of the rigs, okay? But as I said, we are not too concerned about it, at least for the next 2 years, because our contracts are solid for the next 2 years. And we are already starting to bid for 26-27 project. Okay. So, and this announcement just came in the last couple of weeks, or if not a month. And it will take a while for them to actually strategize about bringing the rigs here, right? Because obviously they're not going to bring the rig here just for a 2-3 months project. Yeah, it doesn't make sense for them with the mobilization cost. So we are monitoring all that. So in our, what we are working now towards is the 26-27 contracts and see how that will have an impact for us moving forward.
So, okay, you've got your secure order book extended to 2026. You know, I think order book stands at 1.7 billion with 99% firm contracts. So are you just going to lean back and relax then?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
So our you know, our objective is to make sure that we give the best returns to our shareholders. Right?
And that's how are you going to do that? Because if you already chartered everything out, what are you going to do? Cut costs? I mean, which at the moment is also facing inflationary pressure. So tell me, what is your priorities?
That's a good question. And that's what keeps me awake all the time, right? Which is, how do we improve the returns to the shareholders? And we have set, last year, we have set a Wawasan 2030, which is that we're going to aim for a 2 billion revenue target by 2030 with a 10% return on capital. Yeah, so that's a very ambitious target.
Yeah, because revenue currently
is at 1.2. And you know, with the 6 rigs that we have, unless the charter rates start going to 200,000 or 250,000, which is never going to happen, you know, we can't get there, right? So where are we going to get the other 800 million?
Yeah.
It's going to have to be through corporate exercise, M&A.
Okay, we'll come to M&A. Yeah. But just looking at it organically, you've got 6 jackup rigs, except for, I think, Naga 3 and Naga 5 that will be eventually be tendered out. You're pretty much, utilization rate is around 85%.
That's correct.
So aren't you interested in maybe buying another rig? Is that on your...
We get that question from our clients directly.
Yeah, because if you're already, you know, as in you can't take on any more contracts. I'm sure there's a little bit of like, what should we do now? Yeah. Especially since things are on a sweet spot.
Yeah. So yeah, we can get to the 2 billion ringgit by adding more rigs. Mm. Yeah, but adding more rigs is going to be a lot of, it's going to be very expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. We're looking at 250 million US dollars or more than a billion ringgit a piece now, right? I mean, we can't do that anymore. Yeah, because we learn our lessons from the past. Yeah. So we're going to be staying with the number of rigs that we have, and we're very comfortable with the number of rigs that we have, because we look at historically, when there's downturn, there's always going to be that number of rigs utilized, even in Malaysia.
Okay, right? So the world doesn't need more rigs.
In the downturn, we are okay with that, right? And we look at the whole rig market globally, there's very, very few new rigs being built, because there's discipline now among the drilling contractors about adding asset to the market. Yeah, so we don't see the number of rigs increasing. And in terms of what we're going to grow, that's what I say, we're going to have to look at
inorganic. Okay, yeah. What about on the cost front? My own channel checks tell me that there's a shortage of trained crew members. There's also material cost inflation, a fact confirmed by Petronas. So is that going to eat into your strong EBIT margins of 40% that was enjoyed in the last fourth quarter last year?
Yeah, so we had that issue in 22-23. Okay, and we've managed it quite well, because we put a very strong focus in terms of cost management. Yes, we have to take on the inflation, but at the same time, we work with our clients and we explain to them that, you know, we can't sustain the cost.
Are they willing to absorb the cost though? Because I understand Petronas on some level
has how we got
there's
the
some resistance.
Increase.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we got the
this
price.
This is for
increase.
Your recent umbrella contract renewal, right? For Naga 2, got, Naga 4 and Naga 6.
Yes, we got 2 price increases in the last 2 years.
Okay, but Do you see charter rates? You say it won't hit 200,000, mm-hmm. but could you perhaps get to 145,000, which are, this are US dollar per mm-hmm. day, which is the record in Malaysia. And mm-hmm. I see your range is between 114,000 to 133,000. So can you squeeze it some more? Is that possible? Especially since it's all long-term yes. rates already.
On the spot charter, on the short-term contract, we can even go up to 150. We've seen that in the market, right? I mean, Valestore, we have not done that because our strategy is different. Mm. Our strategy is to go into long-term. So we go into long-term, then the pricing is going to come down a bit, right? But to us, it's fine. It's better to secure the work, okay, at a competitive rate rather than to go for the extreme rate for short-term.
So then if I really look forward beyond 2026, where's your focus going to be? I suppose it will be on the other three jack-up rates which will be up for renewal. I think the question's about especially Naga 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are your expectations for that?
So Naga 3, we have some prospects, yeah, and that's both in Malaysia and Indonesia. We are working on both. And right now, we're trying to see which one is the one that gives us better value, right? So that's where we are. It's not about can we get it to work. It's about which one gives us a better value, right? And so is Naga 5. So we are in a situation right now where everybody wants rig and we just have to make the best decision that gives the better value.
And you haven't come to a decision anytime, or you're not going to make a decision soon?
Well, we have a very good confidence where it's going to go, but we just have to.
Okay, so you're not going to tell me yet.
Not yet.
On the Breakfast Grill today is Megat Zariman. He's the president of Valestore Energy Berhad. After the break, what's the upside to its share price? And is the company open to inorganic growth? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where in the hot seat this morning is Megat Zariman, president of Valestore Energy. Before the break, is the upcycle in the upstream CAPEX sustainable and where are oil prices heading? Now, Mike, I want to go back to share price, you know, because it does seem rather fully valued at current levels. Looking at Bloomberg consensus, the target price is 33 cents. You're not far from there. Forward PE's price earning ratio at 16 times is in fact slightly above the average drilling earnings at 14.5 times. So why should someone still consider Valestore after it's done so well? And it's even more expensive than global players like Transocean and Noble Corp.
Yeah, so we know that, and that's why our focus is to a bit more long-term, yeah, not just looking at drilling and how we maximize it. So in order to ensure a sustainable return to our shareholders, we have to look at, you know, how do we go from here? And I, like I said just now, we have already probably maxed out in terms of just the drilling business. Okay, there's very little growth. We can probably get, you know, a couple of percentage more, but that's going to be
minimal.
Yeah, that's not going to be groundbreaking, right? Mm. So we got to look into how do we sustainable that. And that's
Your profit was already 100 million last year, right? Yeah. So how much more can you move the needle?
Exactly, right? So that's why we're going to have to look into different type of activities that are going to bring values to the shareholders.
Now, one of it you mentioned earlier was inorganic growth, right? Mm-hmm. M&A. So what is in your sight at this moment?
Mm. Okay. So we don't have anything that we embarking on right now.
Okay.
But we have done quite a bit of exercise internally to look at where we want to go.
Okay. Well, so what is synergistic?
Okay. The strategy is around, we know that oil and gas is cyclical, especially drilling. And we've seen that over and over again, right? So our focus moving forward is to make sure that we address the cyclical business. Okay.
But so still staying in the oil and gas
space. We're going to stay in the oil and gas. We're going to stay in upstream. Okay. For now, right? But in upstream, there's exploration, development, production. Mm. The one that's heavily CapEx is the exploration and development. Production is not. Production is OpEx-based. Mm. And there's huge potential in production space. Yeah. So we're going to look into production space. Okay, that's our area because it's downturn-proof, if you like, right?
Okay.
So it OpEx, you know, the platform needs to be maintained, right? Services needs to be run even when the oil price is low. Right, so that gives stability.
So would it be the idea to identify a company that already is in this sweet spot and acquire it? I'm sure you've been on the lookout. Maybe even investment bankers have come knocking on the door.
We are looking at all options right now. And that's what we are embarking on from this year onwards to see what are the opportunities, where is the one that's going to give us a better value for the shareholders. Yeah. So that's just one of the elements that we're looking at. The other element is it's going to have to be asset light.
Because you don't want you don't want to have heavy debt or have heavy depreciation, and then if the asset cannot be leased out, it starts really killing you in terms of the cash flow.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So that's where we narrow it down to, production, asset light. Most of the production opportunities are asset light anyway, which means that we will probably not go into vessels or FPS.
So
or
services.
Like it's mainly going to be services, yeah.
Were you ever considering the Icon offshore sale though? I mean, yes, that's a bit of an asset heavy business. But I'm sure the investment bankers also showed the deal to you.
I think in the past we were trying to do something before I came in and it just fell through. But going back to our strategy, which is going to be more of production, going to be more of asset light, so it's
doesn't fit
our strategy.
What about Sapura Energy? I mean, their results missed expectations, cash poor but still asset rich, and I'm sure they're looking for a white knight with creditors still breathing down their necks with that $10 billion debt outstanding. So is there anything in there?
Well, you know,
list of assets.
Sapura is just one of many victims. We were a victim too of the downturn, right? And every company is dealing the best way it can to come out of that. Yeah, we're probably a bit fortunate because we're smaller and we're very focused, and we had the help, right, of PNB at the time. So I think, you know, it's just going to have to be, let's see what they do and how they come up, right?
But you haven't been looking at the assets or
anything? No, I think it's a completely different business, right? I
mean, yeah, it's nothing that you're interested in doing.
I mean, like I said, our focus is production and asset light, yeah? So that's where we're going to look at.
But if we look at an industry, wouldn't it make sense for Malaysian oil and gas companies to merge so that they can compete globally? I mean, at the moment, yes, Petronas does have a vendor development program aimed at creating resilient and competitive Bumiputra entrepreneurs, but that might end one day. Or do you think Malaysian companies are just too complacent, happy to be jago kampung?
Well, there's been call for consolidation within the oil and gas services industry for many years, but it hasn't really happened at the rate that, you know, we'd like it to be, or probably hasn't really happened, right?
The last one I remember was Sapura Kencana, and let's look what happened.
quite a while back, right? So I think in order to get that to happen as, you know, as an industry, we all have to work together, right?
Yeah.
And there has to be a collaboration of all the different parties.
But there's so many parties with their own self-interests. So, and lots of small companies also.
There probably need to be a leader to organize all of that, right? So
shouldn't that be Petronas then?
Well, I don't know, right? So that's something that I think the whole industry and the government needs to look at. And I know there's a lot of effort going to that by the different agencies, including MPRC and Petronas, you know, encouraging. Whether it happens or not, we'll just have to see. Yeah.
Because currently all your 6 rigs are also operating in Malaysia, right? So are you prepared? Can you compete globally? Are you in a comfortable place?
You
don't need protectionism at all?
We are. I mean, I always make a point that we are going to be able to deliver values and services on merit. So that's why our focus in Velasto has been to make sure that we win work because we are good.
Okay.
Yeah. And we are good. We are today, you know, we've got awards from all of the international companies, including Petronas. You know, we are respected in our service quality with high uptime. And we are starting to embark on a lot of technologies upgrade on our rigs. Yeah. And sustainability is also an area of focus for us. So I think we are in a very good position. We can compete internationally. We have work internationally. Yeah, it's just that all the rigs are here in Malaysia because the values that we get from the contracts in Malaysia is
still good. The best.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, PNB is your largest shareholder with a 54% stake. And recently, they sold a 53.7% stake in UMW Holdings to Sime Darby. There appears to be this restructuring, and of course, this one of Malaysia's largest government-linked investment companies. And I've also seen press reports that PNB is looking to sell Velasto now. So is there any truth to that?
Well, there was a bit of that in the news recently. I think, there was some... somebody made a comment that Velasto is for sale. But as far as we know, and as far as my conversation with PNB goes, you know, there's no such plan.
Okay, because they have pumped in a lot of capital
exactly,
over the last few years, right? Especially when times were tough. So they're not ready to sell? It's not fully valued, or I would say fairly valued? Is that what you're saying, that there's still more upside to Balesto?
What sure. I can say is that based on the discussion I have with our major shareholder, right? I mean, today, they're happy with how Balesto is performing, all right? And just like any other shareholder, they want to see how can we get more returns, right?
The other worry or other headwind I see when it comes to the oil and gas sector is this shift of the oil majors themselves towards more, I would say, environmentally friendly projects, you know, renewable energy. Even Petronas is committing 20% of their 300 billion capex over the next 5 years to those endeavors. In the longer term, where do you see Balesto though? Could it be a world where, you know, it's really hard to get contracts because everybody is in the RE space? And we've seen some oil and gas companies, right? Like Yinson, for example, trying to venture more into that. Yep. Is that something that Balesto is considering?
Okay. When we make a decision, we make a decision based on long term and based on strategy that we put together, right? So we're not going to react and jump just because everybody is going into renewable. Oh, you know, that seems to be the trend. Let's go into it. No, we have to be a bit more disciplined and put a bit more thought. So in that process, what we're doing now is that first, we are committing to a net zero this year. So we'll have a net zero by 2050.
Just like Petronas?
Just like almost
every other oil gas. But like even the country.
Correct. And, you know, we probably take a bit of time to make that net zero commitment compared to many other companies because we want to really see, okay, are we ready? What do we need to do? So as part of that thought process, by the end of next year, we will have a roadmap how we're going to get to net zero. And we've engaged consultant to come and help us, right? So when we do something properly.
Okay. So, and it's not just going to be carbon offsetting.
Exactly, right? So it's going to be, you know, a real thought process put into how we're going to get the net zero target. Yeah, and we're very passionate about it. And then as part of that roadmap, okay, we'll see. If that means that we're going to have to invest into renewable, so be it. But right now, we can't make that decision until we get that roadmap ready.
On that note, thank you for your time. Today on The Breakfast Grill was Megat Zariman, President of Balesto Energy. I'm Wong Shaning, BFM 89.9.
Business Fueling Minds, The Breakfast Grill with U-Mobile Biz, Malaysia's number one 5G network. 5G makes business sense.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.